Time to get the local view. He's the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the front page of the sports section. You could try registerguard.com. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at @AustinMeek_RG. We welcome in Austin Meek. Mr. Meek, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Awesome. Assuming you're going to Vegas, right?
Oh, I'm going to Vegas. I wouldn't miss it.
Okay. I was having this talk with some of my friends the other day about hosting an event in Sin City and not being in the business. I was trying to explain to him that guys like you and Ryan and Steve and the newspaper people, you guys travel so much. I was wondering, for the most part, do you even realize what city you're in, or are you kind of nose to the grindstone?
Well, they do all kind of run together, but Vegas is a little bit different. That is one I look forward to. Look, there's not a lot of perks in the newspaper business. In general, it's a little bit of an embattled profession, but that annual trip to Las Vegas is one that I never complain about.
Do you have a preference? Would we see you at the crap table, maybe a little blackjack, sports book? Are you definitely going to, let's say, take a financial risk while you're there?
I'm kind of a tightwad by nature. I'm pretty conservative, and I'm not good with the table games at all. The sports book is my thing. I'll go hang out at the sports book for an afternoon, and you know, I'll probably come out $10 ahead or $10 down. Either way, I'm not betting the mortgage on anything. But I like hanging out there and watching all the TVs. And doing that whole sports book thing.
Nice. Well, I could assure you they would pay me once to work in Vegas, then realize the error of their ways. let's move to this Duck team. Last week on the road, they sweep the SoCal schools. You had a limited contribution from Dylan Brooks. Actually ended up getting bloodied late in Saturday's game. Others pick up the slack. So I think you touched on it in your article. When you look at the league this year, as you wrote, it's kind of appropriate that Oregon won the title in kind of a gritty, knockdown, drag-out manner, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, Dana Altman's been saying throughout the season that the Pac-12 doesn't really have a dominant team on par with Arizona of the past couple years, and I think he was probably right about that, although Oregon really put that to the test because, I mean, to win this league by a game and to go 4-1 against the teams that finished second, third, and fourth, that's pretty dominant. That's not easy to do. But I think ultimately Dana Altman was probably correct that there was a truly dominant team this year, and it was a pretty balanced Pac-12. You know, it was a war from start to finish. And I asked Elgin Cook about that after the game. I said, you know, have you proved your coach wrong? Have you proved that you guys are the elite team in the Pac-12? And he almost kind of bristled at it, like, you know, don't call us that. We're just kind of this blue collar, you know, knockdown, drag out, kind of a junkyard dog mentality that Oregon has. I think they sort of take pride in that, and that's what they showed. You know, in the two games they had to win the league outright, it wasn't always pretty. They had to grind through it a little bit, but I thought they really showed some toughness the way they finished that.
Talking with Austin Meek, the Register Guard, there is a point, I would say, the middle of Pac-12 play where, I know it's a cliche, but Tyler Dorsey seemed to hit maybe a freshman wall. Then all of a sudden, this series, he goes down in front of his hometown crowd. With all that was on the line, man, how impressive of a performance for a young guy like that was? Did he crank out?
Well, I thought he was the difference in those two games. You know, Dylan Brooks had a couple off nights, and they really needed somebody to step up and score, and that's what Tyler Dorsey did. This is the Oregon team that we thought they could become, where every single guy on the floor is a threat on any given night to go off. And so they can survive a bad night from Dylan Brooks. They can survive a bad night from Chris Boucher, because they do have guys who, you know, any given night, 1 through 5, somebody can step up and have a big game, and it happened to be Tyler Dorsey this weekend when they really needed it.
I know we've discussed this before. It doesn't make it any less important. There was a point Saturday where obviously Brooks went out bloodied. Jordan Bell was in foul trouble. In essence, they're down to five players the coaches trust. So to kind of reiterate, how important is it the coaches get through to these guys, and with the theory of sometimes it's just not worth the foul, you got to be smarter or it could end real fast.
Yeah, and you know, they say that NCAA tournament games are officiated tighter than normal regular season games, and if that's the case, then that's definitely something Morgan's going to have to watch out for, because, yeah, they aren't real deep, and you know, they have had times this year when guys have gotten in foul trouble. You know, you mentioned Jordan Bell. I thought one of the other storylines to come out of this week was Jordan Bell has emerged as an offensive threat now for them. You know, I thought it took him a while to get back in the groove. You know, he missed that time early coming off of the foot surgery, but he now has become more than just a guy who goes out there and, you know, commits four or five fouls and grabs five or six rebounds. He's actually a guy who can go out there and score for him. So keeping him out of foul trouble will become even more important, because he's become, you know, not necessarily a go-to guy, but somebody who can produce some offense too.
Yeah, he hit a mid-range jumper in the USC game. I was watching the game with a couple of my buddies who have grown up here. They watch every Oregon game, and we couldn't recall him ever hitting that kind of a shot. Have the coaches talked about the type of work he's put in and the fact that, I mean, he gets the ball in the low post. He actually could score with either hand. It's been quite a transformation.
Yeah, he's developed a couple post moves in there. I mean, he's never been a real polished offensive player. But one thing Dana Altman mentioned earlier in the season was one of the reasons they couldn't play him in crunch time was because he hasn't been a great free throw shooter. And they just couldn't keep him on the floor in a situation where it could come down to free throws late in the game. But it sounds like he's really worked at that. He's really improved. And, yeah, he's expanded his range a little bit. And he's not going to be Chris Boucher out there shooting three-pointers, but he does have a little bit of offensive game now that they can go to.
He starts hitting three-pointers, they're going to win in Houston. we learned yesterday about all the major awards for the conference. Coach of the Year. So the media had USC 10th. So with the performance of that team, you had Andy Enfield. Wayne Tinkle has OSU on the brink of the dance for the first time in a quarter century. Chris Stoyak, great job in Utah. And the winner, Dana Altman. How close did you have the vote? You know, who was in your mix, and did you agree it had to be Altman?
I did agree that it was Altman. You know, there may have been a little bit of Altman fatigue because he has won 3 out of 4 years now. Not many guys can say that, but you know, I thought it was pretty clear cut that when Oregon won the league outright, that Dana deserved to be Coach of the Year. My runner up probably was Larry Krzyzkowiak, a guy that didn't get a lot of run for it that I thought deserved at least a mention was Konzo Martin. You know, I think Cal was a little bit of a victim of its own expectations, you know, because they were picked pretty high. But when you look at what Konzo did in recruiting to upgrade the talent level on that team, and then what they were able to accomplish to finish in the top three or four, I would have put him in the mix too. But I thought Dana was pretty clearly the choice as the number one guy.
You know, I didn't see if they provided the information. Did they have, like, the tallies? Do we know that Altman won and who was second, third, fourth, and on down the line? Or did they just release the winner?
Yeah, all I saw was the winner.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
Sure if they have the secret ballot stored somewhere or not.
I would be very curious. Final thought, getting away from college hoops, and we know the kind of mega coverage it got, but, you know, Peyton Manning retired, had the press conference yesterday. And so maybe an all-encompassing take. Your lifetime, the generation you represent, I'm thinking guys like LeBron or Tiger or Jeter, his being the face of his sport, the historic numbers, and a mega pitch man. When you think back to, you know, the late 90s to right now, I mean, how far up there will he be as kind of the face of this generation?
Well, for me, I'm 31, and Peyton is one of the first truly all-time great players whose career I've basically followed from start to finish. You know, I remember Peyton at Tennessee. I remember when he was drafted by the Colts. I watched his whole career. So I've never been necessarily a huge Peyton Manning fan, but I felt like I've watched him grow up. I saw his whole career. So it is, you feel kind of attached to the guy. there's definitely a lot of memories for me. And so in terms of just my lifetime, the great players that I've been able to see from start to finish, you know, it's Peyton. I guess it's Kobe coming up on retirement this year. Those are the two guys that really come to mind for me that I've been able to watch from start to finish.
Wow, I didn't realize the math. You were literally in elementary school when Kobe started in the NBA and when Peyton started at Tennessee. And that's definitely part of the visual soundtrack of your life. All right, good stuff. I was unaware of that. Well, you travel safe to Vegas, hit a parlay or two for us, and catch up with you next week, Austin.
All right, if you got any hot tip, I'm all ears.
I'll text you.
Okay.
Take it easy.